Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. For pastor and assistant pastor and elders and ministers and all of you God's wonderful people and visiting ones, I greet you in the highly exalted name of Jesus. I want to give God thanks for his goodness towards us, and it's good that we can gather in this fashion again to hear what the Lord has to say to us. And indeed, God has been good to us. And even though life comes with its difficulties and its challenges, we certainly cannot complain, because even on our worst days, God has been good to us. And so I depend solely on the Lord tonight to speak through me and to deliver the word that he has given me to share with you tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. I want to speak a little bit on the topic of humility. Humility. And, you know, there are times when God, we come to church with, we come with an expectation to hear a specific word from God for, you know, to deal with perhaps a word that's specific to what we're going through or a situation that we're going through. And God sometimes will choose to speak another word. And David said that, you know, thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so the word of the Lord cannot be wasted, and his word cannot return unto him void. And so I say to us tonight, if we hear the word of God and we believe that it's not relevant or it doesn't apply to us, I suggest to you that we hide it so that we can pull on it in time of need. Often when something is hidden, it's not ready for immediate use. And that's what David was saying. But when we hear the word of the Lord tonight, let us just hide it in our hearts so that we can pull on it in time of need. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you on the topic of humility. Humility. And the subtopic being adorn yourself with Christ-like humility. Adorn or clothe yourself with Christ-like humility. And when we speak about humility, we also have to talk about the dangers of having pride. And someone said that the center of sin and pride is I. And the truth is, pride is, it's a silent destroyer of our souls. And it's not always seen, but it's like a cancer that just keeps on eating away at our spiritual selves. And that's why pride separates us from God. And so I looked up the word pride in the dictionary, and I think it's important that it's defined. Pride is defined as a high or excessive opinion, having a high or excessive opinion of one's own self-worth, importance, merit or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in one's conduct. It also means having great pleasure or satisfaction in oneself as a result of one's achievement, possession, or association. This often leads to arrogance or haughtiness, self-absorption, and disdainful conduct. Pride. Pride. And we see so many scriptures are mentioned in the Bible as it relates to the dangers of having pride. And for good reason, because it is one of the sins that God hates, the proud look. And that's what Solomon said, and many consider it the one of the deadly sins, the proud look, pride. And we will notice in the scriptures that a lot have been placed on the importance of humility and humbling oneself before God. Why? Because humility is the very character of God. And there are three different accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke where Jesus was trying to give final instructions to his disciples before he departed earth. And Jesus was starting to transition their thinking from being earthly minded to being kingdom focused. But the disciples at the time did not get it, and they started to argue amongst themselves about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that Jesus called a little child and put the child in the midst of the disciples. And he said unto them, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord said, whosoever shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And in teaching his disciples about the attitude of the scribes and Pharisees, the Lord told his disciples that whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, or they shall be humiliated or disgraced, but he that humble himself shall be exalted. And when we look at the life of Jesus, if there was one who had the right to be proud, it would have been Jesus, because after all, he was the one who redeemed our sins. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the only true and living God. He is the ruler of the universe. The Bible says that heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Jesus created man and every living thing. He's not accountable to anyone. He has unlimited and limitless power and authority. Yet, Paul tells us that he came in this in the form of us of our he came not in the form of a ruler, but of a servant. And if Almighty God could have humbled himself to such low degree, who are we to be filled with pride? Who are we to even have a proud look? Who are we to esteem ourselves above others? And my brothers and sisters, pride in its truest sense is self-idolatry. And the reason why, it's because a proud man will always heap upon himself praises which belong only to God. And so As children of God, should we have self-confidence? Yes. Should we have good self-esteem? Yes. Should we have a feeling of self-worth? Yes. Should we have a can-do attitude? Yes. But the confidence we have is not because we are so good and we are all that. But the confidence we have is a recognition that I can achieve nothing without God's help. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And with your high self-esteem and your self-worth as a child of God, there's always that recognition that without God, we are nothing. And if we are anything, it's because God made something out of nothing. He made something beautiful out of us when we were nothing. Anything that we have. And if you are anything in this life, it's only because of God's goodness. But the man who is filled with pride, ungodly pride, will always be driven to prove to others how wonderful they are and how much they have accomplished. And there is no recognition in their attitude of God in helping them to succeed. And whatever they have and whoever they are, it's always because of their abilities and their gifting. And very often in people who are filled with pride, when you speak with them, the words me and the words I show up ever so often in their communication. They are boastful and conceited, and they will always seek to achieve and obtain things in this life that is beyond what they are able to do or what they can afford, for the sole reason of being seen as being at a higher level than others. And so, because pride can destroy our Christian lives, our Christian walk, our relationship with God, as children of God, we must be selfless. Think less of ourselves in relation to who the Almighty God is. And always recognize that without God, we are absolutely nothing. Show me a man who is proud, and I'll show you someone who doesn't have a relationship with God. Show me a man who is boastful and vain, and I'll show you a man who doesn't know God. He knows of God. He's familiar with God, as our pastor preached on Sunday, but he doesn't know God. But the humble will always recognize that God must increase and they must decrease. The humble man will always recognize that they are like grass, and at any time they can fade and wither away. The humble man will always recognize the need to distance themselves from pride, because they know it's a destroyer of the soul. And so every child of God, all of us, we must humble ourselves. Pride should never be named among us, not amongst the saints, because we are representative of God. And if we are representing God here on earth, our very character should reflect that of God. And we should live a humble life before God. Proverbs chapter 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29, 20, verse 23 says, a man's pride, reading from the NLT version, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs chapter 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Pride, it's a destroyer of our relationship with God. And I must hasten to say that I'm far from being perfect in this regard, because there is a little bit of pride perhaps in all of us. And if we don't guard our hearts, pride will become very, very, very dominant in our lives. And if we don't allow the word of the Lord to purge our fleshly desire, where we want to be seen and recognized by men, every now and then pride will just raise up its ugly head and just uproot the spiritual man. That's the danger of pride. St. John 3:27. John says that a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. In other words, we have nothing to boast about. Anything that we have, anything that we are in this life, all glory must be given to the one who gives and the one who takes away. Can we imagine a person on life support becoming proud and boasting about how well they are breathing? Yes, they are breathing, but only because they are hooked up to the life support machine. And as children of God, that's the attitude that we must carry, that we must portray, where we recognize that we only exist because we are hooked up to our life support machine in the form of our Lord Jesus. And because we have what we have, and we are who we are, because we are connected to the source, we are connected to Jesus. And so all of us, we need to humble ourselves and live our lives knowing that we are completely dependent upon God. And the thing about pride is that pride is it's very unique, because pride is a direct attack upon God. Why? Because pride elevates man and this flesh above God. Not only above God, but against God. Pride will always seek to dethrone God and take away that which belongs to God. You hear a proud man talking, and he will boast about what he has in this life because of what he was able to do. A proud man will boast about his position and his status and all of his accomplishments in this life without recognizing that the glory belongs to God. Pride will seek to dethrone God. And a perfect example of this is in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. And just a little background to this story. So Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and the Bible says that the Lord gave him victory over the city of Judah, and he took into captivity the people, some of the people from the tribe of Judah, including Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. But King Nebuchadnezzar had a big problem. He was lifted up in pride. And the Bible says that he had so much pride, he was so proud that he decided to have a gold statue built in his name. And it was so magnificent. The look of it stood 90 feet tall. And so what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He sent out a decree that at the sound of the music, all the inhabitants of Babylon should bow before this statue, bow before this image and worship him. In other words, worship him, Nebuchadnezzar. And the story of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, we know it very well. God made himself, they were thrown into the fire, and God made himself known in a remarkable way to King Nebuchadnezzar. And this was probably the first time that he realized that there was one who was greater than he was. But the Bible says that this did not stop him from continuing in his prideful ways. It got to the point where God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar, he was not able to interpret the dream. And he called his magicians and they were not able to interpret it. So as usual, he sent for Daniel because he believed that the Spirit of God was in Daniel. And so after King Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel the dream, the Bible says that Daniel was overcome and frightened by the dream. And the Bible says that Daniel revealed what the dream meant. Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "You're going to be driven from human society, and you'll be driven from power to live with wild animals, and you're going to eat grass like a cow." And Daniel told him that this will happen until he learned that the Most High God rules over all the kingdoms of the world. And Daniel warned King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a chance to repent. Daniel warned him and told him to stop sinning and do what is right, and perhaps God would have mercy. And so it seems as if King Nebuchadnezzar had humbled himself for a little while, because the Bible tells us that, and I'll just start at verse 27, King, that's Daniel 4, verse 27, Daniel speaking, "King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will prosper." But all these things did happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, 12 months past. He was taking a walk on the flat roof of his royal palace in Babylon. And as he looked out across the city, he said, "Look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor." While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses." That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned and I praised and worshipped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting and his kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, "What do you mean by doing these things?" Nebuchadnezzar says, when my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out and I was restored as head of my kingdom with even greater honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are true, just and true. And he's able to humble the proud. Able to humble the proud. The words of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar learned a very hard lesson. And he learned it the hard way. Just because he would not humble himself, God took away his kingdom and his power and his prestige for 7 periods of time, the Bible says. His insanity lasted for 7 periods of time. The number, and I'm not sure if the number 7 periods refer to 7 years perhaps, but the number 7, it does have a symbolic meaning in the Old Testament, because the number 7, it means completeness. And the fact that he was humiliated for 7 years tells me that the discipline of the Lord towards King Nebuchadnezzar lasted until God felt it was sufficient to accomplish what he had in mind. And that was to humble King Nebuchadnezzar. What this tells me is that just like he did with King Nebuchadnezzar, God will do whatever it takes and whatever time necessary to discipline us and to bring us to a point of humility if we continue in pride. And so the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, it's a very important lesson about how deadly the consequence of pride can be. And we should look at what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar as an indication of how much God hates the attitude of a proud man. As I said before, pride is it's self-idolatry, and God himself said that he's a jealous God. And he said to Isaiah, my glory I will not give to another. And that is why pride is not something that should be taken lightly. If God hates it, it means that we should hate it. And we should distance ourselves from it. Because any man who is filled with pride, he's in trouble with God. And before you know it, they're going to fall. Just like King Nebuchadnezzar. And God will warn us. And God will encourage, instruct us to turn. But if we continue in our ways, like King Nebuchadnezzar, God will discipline us. And God will humiliate us to the point where we have no other choice but to turn around and live a humble life before God. And so we must always realize that God alone, and I know I said it before, but God alone deserves glory. Don't care what we have accomplished in this life and how much effort we have put in to get it. At all times, God must get the glory. And as I was meditating, I remember as a young man, my coming up in the church, my father would always say, and he would always correct the brethren when they say things like, I want to thank brother so and so, or thank sister so and so for preaching that word or for doing this. And my father, he would always say to the brethren, don't say, I want to thank brother so and so or sister so and so. You should say, I want to thank God for brother so and so or sister so and so. And for some reason, and God knows why it has stuck with me. And to some, this may seem like a correction that is uncalled for, and it's unnecessary. But the older folks were very careful not to promote anyone getting any form of praise, especially in the house of God. And it doesn't matter how wonderful we think people are and how much they mean to us spiritually and otherwise. And as much as we want to show appreciation for people, and yes, we definitely should, but we must make sure that even from our lips, we are giving praise. We are not giving praise to an individual, but we are giving God glory for them in everything. We give God glory. And no wonder in times past, the older folks, they never liked when you clapping after anyone did anything in church. If someone sang a song or they exalted or preached or they did anything in the house of God, after they were finished, you were discouraged from clapping. Because they felt that by clapping, we were applauding and bigging up an individual. And they believed that would have sent the wrong message, especially in the house of God. They believed that in our very words and action, God must get the glory. And to be honest, I didn't get it then. When I was young and I heard, you know, when I heard my father say those words, I thought it was unnecessary. I didn't get it. But the truth is, my brothers and sisters, it's very necessary. Because many are being exalted and put on a pedestal because of the many accolades they get from men, they become caught up in self-promotion. And they believe they have now become something in the house of God. I submit to you that there are no superstar, there's no mega star in the house of God. There are no elites, there are no prima donnas, there are no cliques, there should be no faction in the kingdom of God. We give respect and we honor where honor is due, and the Bible speaks of that. That's not what I'm talking about. But many have been so lifted up in pride and have become celebrities in the house of God. But Jesus is the only celebrity. Jesus is the only superstar. Jesus is the only megastar. The Bible says, wherefore God has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. No one deserves glory but God. Every man, hallelujah, is subject to the power of God. Every man, every child of God, must humble themselves in the hands of the Lord. The scripture I read earlier, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And one of the greatest fall that is mentioned in the Bible was that of Lucifer. And we find it in Isaiah chapter 14. And this provides us with another example of how much God hates the attitude of the proud. Lucifer was not satisfied with being an angel or servant of God, but he wanted to be God. Lucifer was not satisfied with operating within the boundaries for which he was made to operate in. But he wanted to exalt himself. And that is what pride does. Pride seeks to always fulfill, wants to fulfill our personal desires and elevate self above all others. Elevate self above God. But the word of the Lord says that any man who desires God, who is a seeker after God, must die to himself. Any man who will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so if we desire to know God, there must be a separation from the world, a separation from what the flesh desires. Pride. It feeds the flesh. And that's why the Bible, it links pride of life to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And the Bible says that these are not of the Father, but is of the world. And so, my brothers and sisters, we live in a society where pride is almost always seen as something that's very admirable. And not surprisingly, the world looks on pride as something that is attractive, something that is positive. And people have become so absorbed with themselves to the point where humility is mocked. A matter of fact, humility is seen, according to the world, humility is looked on as something that's unusual and indifferent. And some people even look down on it. And we see many programs have been designed to to educate people about self-promotion and self-awareness. And that's one of the tools that the devil uses in leading us into pride. And the devil knows that. The devil knows the word. He knows that pride goeth before destruction. And the devil's plan is to devour and to destroy us. And so his plan is to make us feel and think that, feel so highly of ourselves. The devil's plan is to make us so hungry for attention and hungry for recognition, to the point where we become so absorbed within ourselves. And that's where pride comes in. And my brothers and sisters, this is what the world embraces. This is what the world promotes. But as children of God, we are called to live differently. We are called to be the exception to the norm. And that's why the Bible refers to us as peculiar people. That's why the church is so different. That is why, you know, living a life for Jesus is not it's not popular, because we don't conform to what this world offers. But the Bible instructs us that we must be transformed or changed by the renewing of our minds. But pride, it's the enemy, and it's the silent destroyer of our souls. And so pride, it has the potential to make everyone sick except the person who has it. Why? Because those of us who have the disease and the sin of pride, we will always have a hard time identifying that it's a spiritual sickness. Because pride affects our spiritual sight. It impairs our sight to the point where we will give it another name. And it will cause us to look upon pride as just being self-confident. And it causes us to paint our arrogance as being, you know, just being very assured of ourselves. That's what the enemy of our soul does. That's what the devil does. He puts like a facade on our pride, and he gives it another name so that we will feel very comfortable being proud. That's what the devil does. The devil causes us to put on a pretty mask on our pride so that we will feel good about how it looks. And so we will never identify it as a spiritual problem. And so the proud man will always never acknowledge that their pride is a problem, because of the satisfaction that he gets from thinking so highly of himself. Why? Because he is guided by the flesh. And that's what the flesh wants. That's what the flesh yearns for. The flesh yearns for that type of satisfaction. And our pride will always satisfy the flesh. And so Paul instructs us, Philippians chapter 2 and 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So, my brothers and sisters, when we have an understanding of God's humility, it will cause us to be humble, even to serving others. And when we look at the life of Jesus, one of the greatest examples of Jesus' humility happened when he met his disciples for the last time before he was betrayed. And the Almighty God, the one who knows everything, stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. Jesus, the Almighty, washed the feet of the men he created, including his betrayer, Judas. What was one of the lessons Jesus was trying to give us? It's that we too, as children of God, as his representatives here on earth, we must be willing to stoop down and serve others. Not only our friends, but also our enemies. And the word of God said, that is humility. That is a Christ-like humility. And so I'm coming down. Humility and a relationship with God, it goes hand in hand, because the closer we get to God, the more humble we should become. The closer we get to God is the more we should desire to serve others. The closer we get to God is the more that we will see our nothingness and our nakedness before God. The closer we get to God is the more we will realize that we are totally dependent upon God. The closer we get to God is the more we will exalt and magnify him until there's no room left to even think anything of ourselves. And so, my brothers and sisters, in closing, I want to say to us, let us allow God to clothe us in his humility. Because pride is so subtle and it's so dangerous that if we are not careful, we will be proud of our humility. Pride is so deceitful that we can become so proud of the fact that we are not proud. And when it gets to that stage, my brothers and sisters, whenever we feel this way, whenever we are thinking this way, it means that we still have some pride in our lives that we need to get rid of. But the good news tonight, the great news tonight for all of us is that if we are honest with ourselves and we can acknowledge that we are proud, if we can acknowledge, hallelujah, if we can acknowledge and confess that we have the sickness of pride, the great physician, the cure for this sickness, the antidote for the sickness of pride, he's willing and he's ready to do a work in us. If we can just acknowledge that we've got a little pride in us, ungodly pride, then Jesus will be willing to heal us from this disease. And so, just as the concealed pride, the hidden pride within us moves us closer to death, likewise, if we can acknowledge our pride, if we can confess to God, that there is an area in my life, this area in my life that God, I want for you to rid me of it. God, I make myself available to you, accessible to you to do what you want to do in me, to remove this sickness, this disease, which prevents me from getting close to you. If we can acknowledge our pride tonight, it will move us closer to life. And the Bible says that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Humble thyself, and the Lord will draw near thee. Humble, hallelujah. Humble thyself, and his presence will cheer thee. God will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble thyself, hallelujah, to walk with God. I say to all of us tonight, including myself, let us humble ourselves in the hand of the Lord, and he will exalt us. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.